start your engines and buckle up. It's the Lights Out. Let's go. F1 Show.
Welcome to the Lights Out. Let's go. F1 Show. The review of Turkey for the 13th of October on Jack's Radio. And you have just heard Midnight Train by a band called The Terraplanes. And they are local to Bristol, which is obviously where myself, Rich, and Adam are from, although Adam's in America now. But and they were playing local to me. I've heard them a couple of times, and they are a fantastic band. And if you want to find more about them, you can go to www.theterraplanesbluesband.com. Did you like that, boys?
Loved it. I'll have to get down to the local pub when they're playing again and sample them live. That would be good.
I will let you know. They are a very good band. And as you can hear, I have Adam and Rich with me. So we're going to digest the Grand Prix of Turkey, which was held at Intercity Park in Istanbul. So, don't know. Straight away then. Come on, give me a score out of 10 for the race.
Oh, 5.5.
Six. Yeah, I was disappointed. Five. Yeah, I'm only going to go with six because I actually started. I thought it was going to be a bit of a race for the ages for the first few laps, and then it was just
I was with you. I think it was the anticipation, Adam. I'm with you on that one. It was all set up with the weather, with the drizzle. It was going to be a drying track. It was going to be who was going to dive in. I was all in anticipation. Yeah. And then it just stayed kind of drizzly throughout the whole race and didn't change or anything.
The problem is the drizzle sort of didn't either go off or increase in intensity. It just stayed the same. And it just, it was a shame, really. But there you go. So before we get into that, we'll do a bit of news and things. And I've got some news slightly F1 related for myself. And that is that I ran round the track at Silverstone on the weekend. I did two laps. That was 10K. And I ran personal best of 49 minutes, 30 seconds. So I was well done.
Have you been to Silverstone again?
Just so we're all clear.
Just so we're all on, just letting everybody know that Dan has yet again been to Silverstone.
Well done. Just so I'm clear, Dan, when was the race?
Sunday morning.
Okay. And just remind me again, when did you show up for the race?
Sunday morning.
And any time before that at all?
I also did show up on Saturday morning for the race.
is this what you did?
It was an extremely foggy Saturday morning, and the place was extremely empty, apart from one person.
He said, no, you didn't, did you?
And I said, I'm here for the race. And she said, are you setting up? And I said, no, I'm here to run it. And she went, well, it's tomorrow. And I was like, I haven't read all my stuff properly. I haven't read the email properly.
Oh, there's so early and then there's really early. Did you not anticipate a good time? You thought I'd better get a head start just so I can finish mid-pack. Was that it?
So there you go. But it was quite nice. So I booked an extra night in the Airbnb, which is on a farm, which is lovely. So I spent an extra day with the horses, chickens, and farm cats. So there you go.
Oh, so you stayed up Friday night, did you?
I did, yes, I did.
Oh, well, you had a full weekend up there then. You expecting to come home on Saturday night, were you?
I was, yes.
Did you have anything booked on Saturday night, did you?
No, it was, the race was at 10 a.m. So, I was expecting to be home by about sort of 2:30. But there you go. Anyway, so let's move on. Let's move on from that. But it was a great experience running around the track, and it was amazing.
Well, that's how many people were there? Go on. How many were you running with, roughly?
About 1,800 people.
That's good. It sounds like...
And I came number 300.
What was the hangar? That was pretty good.
I'm surprised there wasn't a lot more than that, to be honest.
There was more people doing it, but they were doing a 5K and a half marathon as well. So,
okay, fair.
What was running down the hangar straight like, and did it go on forever?
I'm so fast, it flew by. So.
No, it can be very fast when you get a 24-hour head start.
yes, it did feel like it was going on forever. I managed to make the the right lines as well through the sort of veil chicane, and my lines are absolutely spot on. I sit at the apex every time.
See, the thing is, you say that as a joke, but 100% you did that.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
100% you hit the apex of every corner. I just know you
did. Yes, I did.
Ran the racing line. Well, the one that's the quickest way around, absolutely.
Anyway, let's move on from that and let's get on to real F1 news. So some news that I heard was that VW or Porsche could be entering F1 as an engine supplier in the near future. Possibly teaming up with Red Bull as well, I heard, which is interesting.
Well, they are teamed up with them they've teamed up with them in Paris-Dakar, haven't they, Red Bull?
Have they?
But they've run a Volkswagen Paris-Dakar entry, I believe. So there is already a tie-up there. I'm a bit confused by this. I would have thought, given that you've got Ferrari down there, that being VAG, as the Volkswagen Automotive Group or whatever, I would have thought they'd have entered with their Lamborghini brand to give Ferrari a run for their money, but because Porsche's been with Le Mans and stuff like that. But
yeah,
when I read the story, actually all I read was it was going to be one of their lines, one of their brands was going to be included. I didn't hear it narrowed down.
It all hinges on the new engine regs for 2025, and VW and Porsche said they will enter only if F1 shelve the MGUH part.
That's right. Yeah, because they basically said they'd be too far behind in development and knowledge.
It's the most complicated part. It's really expensive, and it doesn't trickle down to the road car use either. So there's nothing in it for them. So So that'd be interesting to see how that plays out. But it'd be good to have another engine supplier in F1.
It would. It'd be very good.
Yes. So Qatar has been put on the calendar for this year. Obviously, COVID affecting a few things again and a few races getting cancelled. So Qatar's on the calendar. And they've also done a 10-year deal with Qatar for the next 10 years. So that's four races in the Middle East now. That's quite...
I think they've got quite a bit of money, haven't they?
They have, yes.
That's probably where that comes from, I would have thought. There you go. Definitely. Well, I think of sand filters and stuff like that for the new cars now.
I mean, it's interesting that why they haven't waited to see what the race was like this year before then signing a 10-year deal. But, I would imagine money talks rather than seeing what the race is like on the circuit.
They've got quite a lot of it, judging by the amount of money they've thrown at Newcastle United in the last few weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is now the richest club in the entire world.
Yes.
Is it really?
It is, yeah. Toon is now loaded with money. So, yeah, they've got a lot of money down there, hence the reason the 10-year deal is...
It massively dwarfs what Man City have got, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. But, I think it's, they've got a lot of money. They'll say, well, we'll do this, we'll invest this, you give us a 10-year deal, and, as you say, money talks.
And something that I'm quite excited about with my IndyCar links is that it's rumoured that Andretti Autosports is looking to add an F1 team to their portfolio of teams. And
do you think they might buy one off Gene Haas?
No. Well, I mean, I don't know, but what the rumour I've heard is it could be Alfa Romeo.
Ooh, that would be exciting. Really? Yeah.
Because Ferrari no longer control that second seat at Alfa Romeo. So the one that we don't know yet with Giovinazzi, Ferrari no longer control that seat, which is interesting. So sort of Alfa Romeo have made that break from Ferrari as such.
Because it's old, that's the old Sauber team, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it's always been that sort of it's had that link up with Ferrari, but it's been that sort of independent team over the years as well. So.
That'd be interesting. And you never know, that could pave the way for Roman Grosjean to go back, because Roman Grosjean's just signed for Andretti Autosports in IndyCar next year.
That would be good to have a curveball back into the F1 world.
That would be
really good.
Amazing. But no, that'd be great. It's run by Michael Andretti, the ex F1 driver, son of Mario Andretti, was he, I think?
Yes, he was, yep.
There you go. So that'd be good. That'd be good to see. Because then you've got a nice bit of crossover because McLaren are going to a three-car team in the next couple of years in IndyCar. So you've got McLaren, you know, crossing over IndyCar, F1, and Andretti Autosport the other way. That'd be a good move. I'd like to see that. That'd be very interesting. There you go. And Christian Horner, well, Red Bull are at it again. They're raising questions over the recent Merck engine power gains, apparently. So Christian has just raised a few questions to the FIA to look at. I mean, I don't really think there's a story in that. It's business as usual. You know, anyone who increases a bit of pace, they're going to get questions, aren't they, if they're at the front of the pack from any other rival team. But it'd be, watch that one closely. It'd be interesting to see, you know, if Merck have done anything. Then, yeah, there you go. But who knows? There's lots of skullduggery that goes on, isn't there?
There's a huge amount of it, so I wouldn't... yeah, I agree. I think there's probably not a lot going on there.
I think if Mercedes somehow eke out a performance advantage in Austin, you're going to see that narrative explode, and he's going to get a lot noisier than he is.
I mean, I think Mercedes are, and I said this at the start of the year, they're understanding their car more now, and I think they're unlocking more pace out of it, which I possibly now might have Red Bull slightly scared, because Red Bull have done all their development. You know, Merck aren't doing any more development necessarily, but I always thought Merck had more pace to unlock from just simply understanding their car a lot more.
Understood.
So it could be quite interesting the rest of the year, because it was looking a bit of a slam dunk with, you know, Red Bull and Max for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't think it is at all. It's really going to come down to it now. I think Austin's going to be a pretty pivotal race in what that pressure is going to look like in the running of the season.
I agree. We haven't had decent dry running actually now for a little period of time, have we?
Yeah,
right. We haven't had a good, hot, sunny Grand Prix.
Yep.
You know, get the power. And Lewis does love that track. He loves being in America. Yes, he enjoys it a lot, and he'll want to win there, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we'll crack on with the qualifying after we go to a song. And Rich, let's go to one of yours.
Well, I've got a fairly rubbish. It's a crap link, really, if I'm perfectly honest with you. But I had to get this.
Way to sell yourself, Rich.
Yeah, well, so the link is poor, but I had to get this song in. So my last tune was Kansas, and it was Carry On, Wayward Son. So from Wayward, you can kind of get to Winwood, sort of a little bit. And Steve Winwood, who was an original member of the Spencer Davis Group. And my next track is going to be Spencer Davis Group. This is just for you, Dan, but this is Keep On Running.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much. Let's go.
You're listening to The Light Side. Let's Go F1 Show on Jack's Radio.
Welcome back to The Light Side. Let's Go F1 Show on Jack's Radio. And you were just listening to Keep On Running by Spencer Davis Group. And that was a great song. And thanks for the dedication, Rich.
Just for you, Dan, running your little legs off around Silverstone.
I am, and I'm still running every day, 6K every day. Did it again today. And
good man. Seriously, very impressed, Dan. Well done. You've kept that up for quite some time now.
I have, since January the 1st. But there you go. Right, let's get on to qualifying. So we had a damp qualifying, didn't we? It was pretty damp all round. Pretty much people on inters, wouldn't it, really? What do we have? We had a Merck lockout. So we had Hamilton provisionally on pole and Bottas second. The reason why I say provisionally, obviously Hamilton took a new internal combustion engine, the ICE part of the engine, which gave him a grid drop for Sunday's race. So my question is, do we think Mercedes have caught Red Bull?
Don't know. I think they clearly had the measure of them this weekend in terms of pace, but it's difficult because you don't know if it was just better at getting the power down in the conditions
exactly. It's difficult with these conditions.
They did seem to have the measure on them in terms of outright pace. It was about sort of 0.3, 0.4 seconds, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's. I think I've said it before. I think it's a case of Mercedes understanding their car more now. They're unlocking more pace out of it, I think. And I think
have they caught them? Don't think so quite. Is the pendulum swinging? 100%.
Yeah.
Are these last six races going to be a little bit more nail biting than perhaps people had started to think. 100%.
It's going to be very tight, I think.
Never, really don't, you can't write off world champions.
I mean,
on
this is the fourth
the
time,
level, right?
This is the fourth time the drivers' championship has swung either way in six races. The fourth time in six races it's changed hands. So it's, yeah, it's all very close, isn't it? All very close. It amazing. Is. So, yeah, so qualifying. So, as I say, we had Hamilton on pole, apart from his 10th place grid drop. We had Bottas in seconds. We had Super Max in third. I'm going to call him Super Max from now on because that's what Mercedes called him to Bottas over the radio, which I thought was very strange. So Bottas is engineer. I can't remember his name, but he said, oh, well done, Bottas. He said, that's Hamilton on pole. That's you second and Super Max third. I thought, Super Max, are they just taking the proverbial? But I couldn't work it out. But
there'll be a proverbial in-joke taking the myth
thing. There'd be something like that, but yeah. So, yeah, Supermax in third, Leclerc in fourth, the Gasman, Gasly in fifth, another great result.
Yeah,
Alonso in sixth, so that was a really good qualifying by Alonso as well.
Yeah,
Perez down in seventh, again, lacking in qualifying, has a good race.
I think he had a good season. Overall, he had a good weekend this weekend. Unfortunately, Fernando went backwards because I think Saturday was his highlight, really.
Yeah, that was
his highest starting position for like 7 years or something ridiculous.
That's right. Yeah,
2012, I think.
I think it was 2012. Yeah, I heard that start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we had Norris in eighth, Stroll in ninth, and Tsunoda in 10th. So it was a reasonable weekend for Tsunoda as well. Ricciardo was down in 16th, so McLaren had one of those off weekends that they've had periodically through the season. Hopefully they can come back strong in Austin, Texas.
They did, but we had Mick Schumacher, didn't we?
I was about to say, we had a great lap by Schumacher to put his car in 14th, so that was really good.
And there was a really good lap by, I mean, I felt really sorry for him, but George Russell was on an absolute blooming flyer at one point.
Have you been reading my notes, Rich? Because that's exactly what I've got next.
No, I watched qualifying intently, and I may have taken notes.
So there was a fantastic lap by Russell right until the last corner, and it just lost it. Just, you know,
if you saw the post-quali interview, he was even my wife sat there and looked at him and went, oh, bless.
He knew it was a really good lap, and it would have put him through into Q3.
Yeah,
It was just one of those things where, not necessarily because it was going to put him through to Q3, I just think drivers love getting that perfect lap, doesn't it? And kind of that last corner ruined almost a perfect lap.
He won just Q3. He'd have been fifth or sixth with that lap. He'd have put that Williams right up in the mix. Absolutely. Well, I could tell he was gutted, but... But yeah,
I mean, immediately as he came off that last bend and his mistake here, he was on the radio straight away. He's like, oh.
The radio call was no. Like that. It was really, really heartbreaking. It was
that was such a good lap, right?
But you know, he said afterwards he knew he'd just pushed it that little bit too far. He was just so on it, so on the edge, and that's the whole point of the F1 driver is to be right on that knife edge. So he's good. We can't wait to see him in a Merc next year, can we?
Yeah. And then, reason why I don't want him to go, we had Grumpy Raikkonen on the radio, which I really enjoyed because he had that drink bottle issue, didn't he? That he was saying it was leaking into his into his helmet and into his car. And he came over the radio and he was like, this is the most simple thing on the car and we can't even get this right. And he was just really grumpy. It was amazing. It was great to listen to. At one point, he said, the drink bottle's not working. And they said, oh, we can't work out why. And he went, that's because I disconnected it because it was leaking into my helmet. And it was like, right. Well, that's why it's not working, Raikkonen. And then he was like, it's the most simple thing on the car. You just can't even get this right. He's just really grumpy. He just, I love him. I think he's
very much 1 foot towards the rocking armchair of retirement, isn't he?
He is, and I don't think we will see him round F1 for a long time either.
I don't think we will. I think he's got. Yeah, he's gonna get himself holed up at home with a freezer full of ice creams and a fridge full of vodka. So.
So as I say, so Lewis did have that grid drop, so it promoted Bottas up to being pole sitter and Supermax in second. So that was an interesting decision, but we'll chat about that when we talk about the race. So
I've just thought why they call him Supermax.
Go on.
No, I can't say. Not on the radio. I'll tell you in the next song.
Tell us in the next song.
I'll tell you in the next song.
And that's a good link. We'll go to the next song right now. And Adam, this is one of yours.
See, there you go, Rich, watching his notes again. What's going on? You know exactly what's going on here. So, no links for me, just a superb song. I went with The Who this week, and not by its alternate title, as a lot of people refer to it as Teenage Wastelands, but it is, of course, the classic Baba O'Reilly.
And this is a cracker.
You're listening to The Light Side. Let's go F1 show with Jack Ring.
And that was Baba O'Reilly by The Who on The Light Side.
What a track.
Cracking, F1 show. Cracking tune.
On Jack's radio. And it is a great track. I played that actually on one of the earlier times when both of you weren't here and I was doing more of a music show. And I played that track as well. It's a fantastic track. Good. Absolutely love it. Right, okay. So Rich has worked out why he thinks Mercedes call him Supermax, and he's passed it through the Logger F1 chief of staff, and I reckon we can say. So Rich believes that Mercedes may be likening Max to a female hygiene product, perhaps.
I think it's sanitary wear, definitely.
But there we go. Let's move on from that quickly.
Yes, quickly.
But yeah, that's maybe why they call him Supermax, and they've let the cat out of the bag by saying it over the radio. But there you go. and talking about radio. So I love a bit of team radio and a bit of driver radio. And there were some absolute crackers this weekend. So did anyone hear? So Gasly in FP2, he came over the radio and he went, "I can't drive this car." And his team said, "Why?" And he said, "My arms are too short to turn the wheel." And I was like, "What does that mean? I couldn't work out what you meant."
What?
I don't know.
You're saying I can't drive this car. It's a fairly strong admittance, you know, given he's had a few seasons in F1, really. No. I mean, we think you're doing quite well, actually, Pierre, but fair enough.
apparently Gaz's arms are too short to turn the wheel. But there you go. He seems to be doing okay because he got the sixth or fifth place. But there you go. And then also you had Lewis on the radio to Bono when he was sat on the grid waiting for the start of the race. And in the Mercedes car, there's obviously a beep that goes off because Lewis said, "We need to get some music in this car because I cannot stand this beep, and it happens every damn race." And he was like quite grumpy. I think it showed his headspace by being starting in 11th or whatever. And Bono came over the radio and said, "Well, I could always sing for you, mate." And Hamilton was like, "Yeah, I don't care anything other than this beeping." And it was like, oh, I wonder what's going on there. But obviously, yeah, Lewis was a bit grumpy. And I loved the Leclerc radio during the race as well, where he was asking the specific question, and I can understand what he was asking. So he was in the lead. He hadn't pitted yet. Bottas was behind him. They'd all pitted behind him. And he said, "If I stay at this pace, where will I finish?" In other words, you know, is it going to take me to win, or is the pace going to drop off and they're going to overtake?
Yeah.
But his team didn't understand him and came back and said, "Well, if you finish ahead of Bottas, you will win the race." It's like, yeah, I don't quite think that's what he was asking.
He just went, "Is there 135? P1. It was just, that was P1. That's what, what are you talking about? You'll finish first, you plum. Get on with it.
Yeah, I must admit, I did actually have, you know, sat down, watched the race with one myself, and just literally had a laugh out loud at that moment.
I thought it was great.
That was funny.
I love a bit of radio. I love a bit of radio. But okay, so race wise, how did it finish? So it finished Bottas first, Supermax second, Perez in third, Leclerc in fourth, Hamilton fifth, the Gasman in sixth. So another good performance by Gazzy, really.
Yeah.
Norris in seventh, Sainz driver of the day in eighth, and I think he fully deserved. So I do get a bit angry with driver of the day, but I think he was fully deserved getting driver of the day in eighth. Not that the television broadcast showed any of his overtakes, but there you go. You had Stroll in ninth, and you had Ocon very luckily in tenth. His car was because he obviously didn't change any tyres during the race, and he did come over the radio and say two more corners, and he thought the tyre was going to explode. Which we'll come on to, because that was quite an important radio message as to what happened with Lewis Hamilton and the Mercedes call to bring him in. But a few quick facts. So that is Bottas's first win since the Russian Grand Prix over a year ago, so mid-September 2020. In a Mercedes, that's not good enough, and I think that's why Bottas is leaving the team at the end of the year, because that is not good enough.
I think that's a fair comment. I think
it's
that's quite a crazy
stat, really.
Yeah.
And that win does help Bottas avoid a second winless year with Mercedes as well. Do you know what year was the other winless year he had?
Was it the first year he joined Merck?
No, 2018.
Yeah, winless year in 2018.
And that, again, is quite a damning stat. Being in a Mercedes, that is a very fast car. Not to win a race all season is quite, yeah.
Especially seeing as, he won a couple in 2017 when he first came.
I think it does speak volumes, and it does show, you know, that that's obviously what Merck have been looking at when they promoted George Russell and getting rid of Bottas.
To be fair, he did have a fair, I think he had a pretty, you know, apart from the fact he didn't officially, although he was on pole, didn't put it on pole, but, you know, given the fact he inherited pole, he did what he needed to do and stayed out.
He did a fairly faultless race.
I think he made one error at the start, and the rest of it was spot on, frankly.
Yeah, he commanded the race, and you know, you can't take that away from him. It was a good weekend this weekend, and did what he needed to do, which was very good.
Yeah.
So another fact, Perez. So that's his first podium since the French Grand Prix. And again, I'm going to be damning of that, because in a Red Bull, which is the fastest car this year, that's quite a crazy stat as well.
It's not good enough, but we have alluded to the fact that it's probably got 50% of Max's setup on that car at all times.
That's true. I do agree. That is a nightmare.
I do agree. However, I did think he had some great fights with Lewis.
Yes, he did. That was fabulous.
And interestingly, Lewis could fight with a Red Bull for several corners.
Yeah, definitely.
As opposed to.
And so this was so Max taking the lead now. It's the fourth championship lead in six races. So Gasly's sixth is his sixth place finish this year. So that's the Gas man is going well.
He did really well. I'm really warm to him.
I really like him.
I think he's been good this year.
With a 5 second penalty too.
I think he was going well
all weekend as well. Wasn't he top of the timing tables in FP3 when it was raining? Yes. As well, they had a wet practice, right. He's been on it all weekend, I think.
Yeah,
he's been very good.
And there are zero retirements for the 12th time in F1 history. But this just shows how reliable these new sort of crop of cars are, because 12th time in F1 history, there's been zero retirements, but it's the 8th time in the hybrid era and the 3rd time this season. That just shows how reliable these new cars are. You know, that's quite interesting. Which is good, because nobody wants things like championships decided on a engine blowing up or something like that. You know, you want it based on drivers. So I think it's better that these cars are reliable now.
Well, it's a big change for next year. So I'm sure they'll fix that next year. We'll have much more retirements and things going wrong next year when people don't understand the cars. But
yeah,
I did wonder at one point yesterday or Sunday whether or not Max was going to have a retirement, because he was complaining about his steering at one point. He was saying
he was complaining about his steering and his gear changing as well. But apparently it was just a software issue and the glitch fixed itself. But yeah, I was thinking, oh, we could have a retirement here. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
No, it didn't happen. So let's talk about the big thing in the race then. So Lewis Hamilton. So everyone around him changed to a new set of inters. Round about 20 laps before the end, was it? 25 laps before the end. And Lewis, so Merck called him in, and Lewis overruled the team and thought he could hang out there. I think he was hanging out for the rain to slightly go off on a dry line up here, and he could win time back by going straight onto to slicks. That didn't happen. And then Merck, second time, basically gave him an order, wasn't it, really, for him to come in. And he came in, but didn't realise he was losing two places to drop back to fifth. And then when he came out, was in quite a grump, because obviously going through that graining stage that everyone else had gone through, and Gasly was quickly catching up behind. Where do we put the blame there for what happened?
I'm not sure I would want to put blame anywhere. However, because I think it was just such a difficult situation. However, I think it was the wrong call to bring him in. I think, personally, and again, it's guesswork, I think he should have stayed out. I think it was a bit of an example of too much data, too much information, analysis paralysis, everybody trying to second guess and predict. And he said, you know, I don't think he was even looking for the dry line to come in and put on, be the first person on slicks and not take the double stop. I think he was ready to go to the end on the tires he had.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, being the fact that he is, you know, he is a good manager of his tires and certainly better than Ocon, I don't think he would have been played with the issues on that last lap that Ocon was.
Well, you said,
and I think he should have rolled the dice. At the end of the day, if you come in, you know you're going to finish fifth. You 100%, there was no way else anything was going to happen. So the question becomes,
go ahead. No, I completely disagree with that. Completely.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't see there was any way he was ever going to make those positions up, because you know that he was going to go through the same graining and they'd seen it on everybody else before. The only possible argument you could make was would it have been different if he'd come in when they first called him in? Right. Yeah, so if you're saying you disagree because he should have come in when they first called him in and then he would have made those places up. Arguably, yes.
Okay. However, here's where I am with it. One, yes, he should have come in. I think Merck should have ordered him in when they first called him in because they had the data. Okay, he should have come in first of all. Okay, but when he didn't, I think Merck were right putting him in a second time, because when they looked at his tyres, it was down to the canvas, and Pirelli have said, they don't, that tyre would not got to the end of the race. It would not, it was down to the canvas already. As we said with Ocon, he said two more corners, that tyre would have blown. And remember, Ocon was a lap down on Lewis. So Lewis would have done an extra lap on it. There's, I was watching Ocon's time. He was 4 to 5 seconds slower than everyone around him. For the last three laps, he lost 17 seconds in the last four laps. Lewis would have lost the same.
He'd have been sixth or seventh if he'd have stayed out.
And if you think about it, he at that point he had the championship lead. So why risk staying out and having a DNF? Because if you have a DNF, championship's almost over. Play the percentages, bring him in. I know you're going to end up fifth, but your damage limitation. I don't think it's at the point yet where you have to risk the championship. Just, you know, whatever happens when they called him in first, fine, he didn't come in. They then realised they were in trouble. Don't roll the dice and stay out. Play the percentages. Bring him in and end up fifth.
And the thing is, I think they'll review that afterwards. So I think you're right that, you know, the gamble was made when he didn't come in with 20, 25 laps to go. That was it. It was a case of, I think it could have been a case of, well, all right, you've decided to do that, Lewis. So we'll see how good you are. Because what was his times like just before he came in, like the lap two laps before he came in?
So they were dropping off, and Merck said that what they saw was the temperature in the carcass of the tyre dropped down and wasn't going back up. So there was that tyre had gone, and there was no recovery, and that tyre would have gone off the cliff.
I think that they were looking too much at what the new Inters were doing and not enough at what his tires were doing. And well, again, like he was the one that was out there driving. Yeah, you're right. I mean, but he was the one that was out there driving it. He did come out, you know, later in the post-race interviews, and he said he was wrong not to come in when they called him in originally. Now, that's where the race-losing
sort of decision is, isn't it?
Yeah, but is that what he really believes, or is that a political comment because he was, you know, disobeying what the, you know, not disobeying, but going against what the team had ultimately kind of gone with?
I think they showed him the data after.
Yeah, I think they showed him the tire.
Oh,
data.
I'm sure. I don't think, however.
What lap did he come in on? Was it lap 50?
It's about yeah, seven 50, laps 51. To go, was it? Something like that.
Yeah, yeah, he had seven or eight laps to go, laps, and he, yeah, and I think he'd have struggled because I think Gasly would, you know, they were.
I'll tell you what, though,
catching him hand over fist.
I'll tell you what, I think if he'd realised he was going to lose two places, he wouldn't have come in the second time either.
No, no,
I agree with that. Definitely.
And that's why Merck were economical with the truth about how they yeah. asked him in. But I did hear that interesting point where they were watching the tire temperatures and it dropped off, and it didn't regain, and that's when Merck knew those tires were then done, and they would have fallen off the cliff. But who knows? It's one of those things, isn't it? We just don't know. But I think it was too much of a risk, because if you have a DNF, the championship's over. You know, you've got sometimes in sport you've got to play the percentages. You know, and
yeah,
you
know, true.
If he loses the championship by less than 5 points, he's going to be bummed there.
Nah, I think it was the right decision, definitely. But anyway, yeah, it's interesting. So where are we? So we're fast running out of time, actually. But let's go through a couple of other little notable bits. Alonso had a bit of a weekend to forget. He was, unfortunately for him, he was tagged by Gasly at the start.
Not sure he was. No, I'm not sure he was. I think
Gasly got a penalty for it.
I know, and I think it was very harsh. I don't think
it was a harsh penalty. He shouldn't have got a penalty because it's the first lap. But when Gasly definitely tagged him.
Yeah, he definitely hit him.
I think when you look at the footage, Alonso came in and yes, they did touch, absolutely. But I didn't really see Gasly turning in on him, changing line. Alonso chucked it up the inside a little bit, and he was
there. Alonso was on the outside of Gasly on the first corner.
He was on the outside.
Are you thinking the Schumacher Alonso?
I am thinking Schumacher Alonso, that's why.
Yeah, so Gasly definitely tagged him on the first, which put him at the back. But then it was Alonso's fault when he came up the inside of Schumacher.
Daniel. I was thinking of the Schumacher Alonso incident, not the one at the start. But I think, I will stand by the fact, I thought it was a very harsh penalty on Gasly.
It was
a bit of a sandwich, and it's like, are you going to hit a Renault or are you going to hit a Red Bull?
He was sandwiched. It's tricky conditions. You know, you're on a drizzly track as the first lap. I thought it was really harsh, but there you go. And then you had that great bit of racing between Perez and Hamilton. So that was a great sort of few corners. Unfortunately, these things are few and far between. I just wish the whole racing could be like that. You know, that'd be fantastic. But I think it also showed the reason why Perez was able to stay ahead. One, because it was very good racing by Perez. It just shows at this stage of the season, with the championship so close, you know, Lewis can't fight and risk being knocked off. You know,
look at the way he went round Sonoda.
Exactly.
He gave him way more respect than he deserves.
100%.
Because he knew he could have risked a DNR just because of some, you know, stupid racing incident with that guy alone.
I think he had a lot more faith when he was with Checo, because he knew Checo. He knew that Checo knows what to do a little bit more than Sonoda does, definitely.
Yeah.
But
I always
go on.
Sorry, Rich. I mean, I was going to say, I also think the same was true of Max, actually, on those first couple of corners.
Supermax,
too.
Please.
Yeah, Supermax. Supermax was the same deal. If you watch him on those first couple of corners, he was far less aggressive and way more cautious.
They both realized now they have to tiptoe around everyone else because they have to finish the race. But there you go.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to move on to a song in a sec. We won't be running out of time. But just one more point. I think also what hurt Lewis in this race was he had a high wing setting to have grip in the corners to be able to overtake, you know, using the DRS, because it drizzled, there was no DRS. So I think that high wing setting, it was a whole lot of stuff that just went against Hamilton, but there you go. But anyway, let's crack on with the song and then we can see out the show. So Rich, another one of yours.
Oh, go on then. Yes. So the rather poor link I had last time was basically Steve Winwood. Steve Winwood was in the Spencer Davis group, but Steve Winwood also in 1967 formed a band called Traffic in Birmingham. And if you've ever driven around Birmingham, you know that the crosstown traffic in Birmingham is terrible. So that takes me to Crosstown Traffic by Jimi Hendrix, which was also recorded in 1967. So there's two links for the price of one there.
Let's go.
You're listening to The Light Side. Let's go F1 show with Jack Traynor.
That was the fantastic Jimi Hendrix with Crosstown Traffic on The Lights Out. Let's go F1 show. on Jack's Radio. Okay then, boys, we are fast running out of time, so give me your predictions for the next race in Austin, Texas. So, Rich, let's go to you.
Oh, I'm going to go with Lewis Hamilton for the win. I'm going to go with Supermax in second. And I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Checo in third.
Okay. Adam, what's yours?
I'm going to go Yep for first, Yep for second, Lewis, Supermax. And then I'm going to say it's going to be a Mercedes sandwich, so Bottas is going to be in third.
Okay, so I am going to go Lewis for the win also. But I'm going to go Bottas second, and I'm going Supermax third.
Ooh.
I think Bottas is on a bit of a charge. I think the Mercedes is quick round USA. I think the team has caught up on Red Bull. I reckon it could be a bit of a championship swing again. But yeah, interesting one. There you go.
Let's hope so.
Right then, boys, that is it. That is the end of our show. So, thank you for listening at home. If you want to do us a favour and help us get our content out there, you can follow us on Twitter, which is lights_F1. If you want to listen to any of our shows through the year, you can go to the Listen Again function, which is on jacksradio.com. Playing us out is going to be C6 Steve with Summertime Boy. It's a fantastic song, and I'm the Aeroplanes have got me into that sort of blues area, and I'm quite enjoying that sort of stuff.
Awesome song, fellas, by an awesome man. He's an awesome man.
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. So, fellas, you want to say goodbye?
Tatty bye.
Bye now.
And I'm going to say goodbye and drive safely.